This is UCR Focus.
UCR Focus is a program which interviews faculty, staff, and interesting people in general who are on or about the campus of the University of California at Riverside. My name is Gary Kern, and with me is Louis Vandenberg. This evening, we are in the home of Lucy Leontides, who teaches piano at UCR. Before I ask her some questions, I would like the listeners to know that I am a novice at the piano. I can't play anything beyond teaching little fingers to play. And Louis is something of an accomplished pianist. At least he has taken a good deal of music. So our questions will have a sort of up and down range of interests. The first question I want to ask you, Lucy, is what exactly do you do there? How do you teach piano?
How do I teach?
Well, what is involved?
What's involved?
Yes.
These are individual lessons that students sign up for. They are from all over the campus, and of course music majors come too. I take them at all levels. I think that people who haven't taken any lessons before, they can go into group classes first, and then after they've done that for a year, then they can come and sign up for private piano lessons.
So you accommodate all levels. In other words, from the very beginning,
yes.
If you have someone who is advanced, then you go into technique and problems of that sort, I guess.
Well, you deal with technique at all levels.
Oh.
But it changes according to the student. Different people have different problems. And so you can sort of roughly say what you're, you know, these are technical things that you do, but each one will be treated individually. And that's why, I mean, I believe more in individual piano lessons, private piano lessons, than group things. I really don't know how to teach a group. I don't know, I need both eyes to watch one hand, nearly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we do, you know. There are about four piano teachers in the department, and two or three voice.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the other instruments are taught as well.
Every teacher that I've had mm-hmm. has had their own style of teaching.
Mm-hmm.
How
mm-hmm.
would you describe your style?
Okay, I think that's a very good question that you've brought up. No two people teach the same way. And it would be nice to say that you can do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and then you'll turn out into a good pianist. But unfortunately, everybody arrives at their understanding of how they play and why they do how, whatever they do, partly influenced by their teachers and then partly influenced by their own, I don't know how to describe it. I arrived at what I do because of the certain needs that I had when I performed. And so in that sense, we do all have our own styles, and I feel that my main interest in teaching the piano or playing is trying to make a instrument that is basically a percussive instrument, to try to imitate as close as possible the voice. So it has to sing, it has to be expressive, and so everything I teach is geared to that.
It seems to me, in the teachers I've had, that you can put them in two groups. The ones who use pedal with Bach and the ones who don't. Which group would you be in?
Would I? Oh, I think I'd use Bedel if I needed it.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to be discreet how you use it. But I don't know if you heard Schnabel say this once. He says, when you decide to play Bach, you have to admit, you have to take the risk that two-thirds of your audience will be against you. There is one group that says you shouldn't play the piano. I mean, you shouldn't play Bach on the piano. So they're out.
I'm sure there's a group also that says you shouldn't play the piano, but go ahead.
Well, did I say it right? You shouldn't play Bach on the piano.
Uh-huh.
The other group says you must imitate the harpsichord on the piano, otherwise you're out of style. And the others say, well, if you're going to play the piano, then play it like the piano. Don't take all the disadvantages of the harpsichord and make the best of the piano. So you will never satisfy everybody when you play Bach. I'm terribly scared to play Bach for an audience. But Bach wants his music played in a singing style. That is how he prefaces, I think, the inventions and the fugues, preludes and fugues. So it has to get all the singing quality you can possibly get. And if sometimes you need the pedal, then you put the pedal, and if you don't, then, you know, you have to be very clever with the pedal. You have to have a very good ear as to what you're doing with it.
But perhaps the problem is that there are not enough harpsichords. There should be more harpsichords, and then you wouldn't be confronted with the problem.
Time marches on, Gary.
Yeah.
Do you feel that the singing style you're talking about is most applicable to romantic music, in which the singing lead sort of melody line, as exemplified by Chopin, do you think it's more applicable to that, or is it applicable to all music?
I think if music isn't singing, it's not music.
Because music originated with the singing voice.
Exactly. It expresses the soul. And the soul expresses itself through the voice. And if music isn't singing, it's not singing. And I think this is a difficulty we have with an instrument like the piano that is anti-singing. You know, it's a percussive instrument. So everything you do is an illusion to create that you're not really percussing one, hitting one string after the other.
It seems to me Bartók didn't take that approach, even though he made studies in folk songs and so on. He certainly took a percussive, I couldn't imagine singing some of his concertos. Or,
well, yes, I mean, that would make me very, very outspoken, but I don't really feel that much music is being written, really. I mean, because they treat the piano very much as a percussive instrument. Mm-hmm. And I think that times have changed, but I'm not willing to go along with them. I still feel that the 20th century is nearly over, and it hasn't taken really. I mean, there are small fragments of the world that accepts it. But, you know, in general, the concert halls are filled if there is the Tchaikovsky and the Beethoven and the. I mean, it hasn't taken, and I think part of the reason is that it disorients people instead of bringing them together.
But I think you're talking just simply about the decline of the level of appreciation, you know.
We'll do another program on
that. No, but you do raise a question that I recall where Pablo Casals and Isaac Stern were talking, and or I think Stern was talking about Casals. Mm. And as you know, Pablo Casals did not go beyond. He actually admitted a bit of Dvorak, but beyond Dvorak, I don't think he would go. Mm-hmm. And Isaac Stern was trying to tell him that he got every bit as much satisfaction from playing the Alban Berg mm-hmm. concerto or the Bartók violin mm-hmm. concerto and other works.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that these have made a niche and have found a place in the 20th century and are acknowledged as a great.
But imagine if Isaac Stern is trying to convince Casals.
Yeah.
Well, it means that there is really a problem.
With Casals?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, Casals is a wonderful, great musician.
Yes.
And so is Stan, of course.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask another question. To what degree would you describe yourself as a pedagogue? Do you ask your students to perform the classic technique exercises, or do you...
No, I really don't. I mean, all the Pishner and the Czerny and the Clementi and all mm-hmm. that, you mean?
Hannah.
No, they have no time. They have no time to do all that stuff because they're just very limited with... I mean, they come there because they want to. And if they have about an hour to practice, you know, a day, which is a miracle if they do, then, you know, they'll do some scales and some... It depends also on the students. Some of them really want to do it, and others just want to learn pieces. And I teach the technique as I am teaching the work. If they were conservatory students and they had 8 hours to practice every day, which I don't know if they do in America, but in England and in Vienna we did have the time, then of course you do. You know, I did them. I did 2 or 3 hours of them when I was obliged to do it, not that I liked it. But I don't insist it on my students. With the younger private children, I do. They do their Czerny and they do their scales and they do their Hannon. But not at UCR.
Well, let me mention Bartok again. What about Mikrokosmos?
I can't stand all that stuff, you know. Oh. I mean, really, it's just, I need to have it in the tonal system that I'm used to, and the major and the minor, and mm-hmm. when it gets into all this modal stuff, I think we're going backwards, we're not going forwards. I mean, I think the great Bible or the canon of music mm-hmm. sort of was created by the German school and Chopin and some of those people, mm-hmm. but after that, it just, I haven't been able to adjust to it. And it's not that I wasn't open. When I was a student in London, I went to everything new. I heard the vacuum cleaner and the typewriter and everything that was going. Mm-hmm. And I was open to it, but quite frankly, I never was convinced. I mean, I went because, you know, I wanted to be with everybody, you know.
Well, as a listener, I feel that way about the more modern music. This seems a very bleak time to me. But the composers who matured in the early part of the century, and most of whom have died, mm-hmm. the last one, Shostakovich, died recently, it seems to me were continuing music. They were making great advances because, after all, you can't out Beethoven. Beethoven, he did it, you know, and you can't really go beyond. You have to acknowledge that this is a monument and go on and try to find some new form that maybe is a bit inferior, but nevertheless has new, you know, makes discoveries. Whereas I would agree with you about the more recent composers. I can't think of anybody offhand that is really exciting, that you look forward to their next composition.
Well, you know, Brahms could have said that too, and he did. You mm-hmm. know, who can follow Beethoven? And Tchaikovsky did too, I mean, and I would just say what a teacher of mine said. He said Beethoven had said it all, and Brahms still had something to say.
Lucy Leontides is going to play a selection for us on her Steinway, a rhapsody by Brahms. Thank you. We've just heard Lucy Leontides playing the Rhapsody by Brahms, Opus 79, number 2 in G minor. And to close off this program, I want to ask you some, at least one question about yourself. Your name, Leontides, sounds Greek, and you mentioned that you did scales in Austria. This looks like an interesting background. I wonder if you could say a few words about your background, how you came to UCR.
I was born in Cyprus, and when I was 16, I received 2 scholarships to study at the Royal College of Music in London.
Which means already you had been playing?
I'd been playing, yes. Uh-huh. I started when I was 6.
Did you have parents who insisted that you...
A mother, yes. Mm-hmm. I never sort of wanted to practice, and I didn't have a very good beginning. About the first 8 years, I used to play by ear. I mean, that was kind of a freak sort of piano lesson session, I guess. But then I had a teacher who had come from abroad, and he had studied in Greece and Paris. And so he took this wild child of 12 or 13, and within 2 years, maybe I was 14, I don't remember, yeah, probably. Within 2 years, I took part in the associated board exams that come, they came biannually they granted scholarships biannually for the Middle Eastern section colonies.
Mm-hmm. What language were you speaking at this time, by the way?
Well, I spoke 4 languages all right from the beginning.
Uh-huh.
I don't really remember when I learned what, but broken English was the home language when mm-hmm. the family spoke. And my mother is Armenian, so she had her sisters and the children were there. And of course, we lived in a mixed neighborhood, so that all the languages were spoken there,
mm-hmm.
the ones that are spoken in Cyprus. So we learned, I spoke Armenian with my sister. I mean, we'd be embarrassed to speak English for some reason or other.
Mm-hmm.
With my brother, I spoke English, and then picked up Greek and Turkish somehow in the streets, I guess. I don't know. I went to a Greek school
mm-hmm.
for part of the time, so I can read and write in Greek. I don't read and write in Armenian, but I can speak quite easily. And so anyway, I went to the Royal College of Music, and I was in Lebanon for about a semester as a head of a music department in a college there. And then went to Vienna and studied there at the academy. I should really mention my teachers. I got
right.
The ones in London for piano were Lamar Krausen and Norman Greenwood. And in Vienna, I had Dieter Weber. And then I went to Montreal for a couple of years, and then came down to California to visit my sister, whose husband was teaching at the Loma Linda University. And I'd only come for 3 weeks, but I stayed 3 years. I never went back to Montreal. And while here, I had heard of Dr. Oswald Jonas, who was teaching as an adjunct professor at the Riverside. I had met him in Vienna,
mm-hmm.
and couldn't believe that he would be in a place like Riverside. I mean, it was sort of a real surprise. So of course, I met him, and there was a lot of bond simply because I was
mm-hmm.
in Vienna, and I knew people he knew. And then I worked with him, and he was very gracious in the time he spent with me and taught me an awful lot. He made me aware of music in a way that I had never really realized up till that time. And I suppose it's through his connections that I was asked eventually to teach in the piano department.
Do you find that any connection between your intake of languages and the intake of music, in other words, do you kind of absorb these things, or is there a definite difference in your learning of music and the way you picked up languages?
You know, I have no idea how I picked languages up. In fact, I refused to learn German when I was in Vienna. I thought they all should speak English. I mean, I couldn't believe that they wouldn't speak English. And all of a sudden, after 2 years, I went to England for a wedding. And I woke up and I was speaking German. Somehow, suddenly when I was in England, I started thinking and speaking German. It was the oddest thing. And I tell you, the language I like most is French. And I took it for 4 years in high school. But I really am an O, and I have a difficult time expressing myself in French. But I really don't know what the connection is with music and languages. I haven't.
Yeah.
I've done both of them so instinctively that maybe that's the answer.
We've been talking with Lucy Leontides in her home. My name is Gary Kern, and Louis Vandenberg has taken part as well in this program.
This has been UCR Focus, a presentation of KUCR of the University of California at Riverside.